Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark. Let's chin this one off. WrestleMania 29. We're back in the hot box and we are back doing our best for God and the Queen and Vince McMahon.
Let us kick straight into what is left of WrestleMania 29. Quick spoiler, I did not enjoy the rest of this. We've just come off the main event, our main event.
Yes, CM Punk versus The Undertaker, squabbling over a dead man.
Oh, two dead magical. Men. And one of, you know, the last great matches of Undertaker's career. Mm. I would 100% argue that this next one is one of the most boring matches of either men's career. And this is Triple H versus Brock Lesnar in a no-holds-barred match. Some interesting little facts.
Right.
So Brock Lesnar has left the WWF in 2004.
Yeah.
And he left because he found the actual sort of traveling schedule absolutely punishing. Mm. He was doing loads of dates every night. He was getting tired. And he looked around the locker room and he'd seen some of the older guys, especially Eddie Guerrero, hobbling in pain just to try and, you know, get out of the between the curtain and into the ring. And he looked around and he thought, you know what? That is not for me. Mm. So he walked away at WrestleMania 20 after a match with Goldberg that was roundly shat on by the crowds. And he would try out for the NFL. He would manage, I think, to get a very quick draft right at the last minute for a team. But it didn't work out. And he ended up going, he did some MMA. Mm. So having been a very, very high level amateur wrestler and an NCAA champion, he began, was he an NCAA champion? Yeah, I'm fairly sure he was. He was certainly that elite level of amateur wrestling. He started MMA. He started off with a Japanese organization. He did one match against a guy who was not very good, and he just used his wrestling skills and sort of punched him in the face a few times. The guy tapped out. And UFC then was his next port of call. And UFC, they made him a much bigger star than he'd been. He was one of the first people to actually go from professional wrestling, the fake sport, into the real world of mixed martial arts. Previously, we'd had people go the other way, like Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn. They'd come back to WWE, and they'd always had a good aura about them. People thought, you know, they knew that they were legit hard guys. Mm. And that really helped them, even in a world where supposedly everyone is tough and, you know, everyone is real. Having two people who were objectively real was a big selling point for them.
Yeah.
So off Lesnar goes. He's the first person to make this move. And they've got the sense of, I think a lot of the fans, that he was WWE, he's fake, he's bad for the sport.
Right.
And so in he comes. He his aura is remarkable, Brock Lesnar. He is a big, frightening-looking guy. And going to UFC, he managed to capture the UFC championship, having had in his first match with Frank Mir, he was caught in a leg lock and tapped out very quickly. He didn't tap out quickly because he was in pain. He just knew he couldn't get out. So I lost that round.
Right.
They build him up again. He beats Randy Couture, very, very popular American wrestler who had held the belt, who was getting slightly older, but was still very competent, very capable. And Lesnar would have a career of every single card he was on, he moved the needle on significantly. Yeah. He was making, I think, around about $3 million per UFC fight. He was probably worth every penny. His career began to slide when his limitations came in. Lesnar was a very good wrestler. He wasn't a very good striker. And so as you got people like Cain Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, and Alistair Overeem, when Lesnar got hit, he didn't like it. He did not like being hit. And if you could hit him once, he would beetle up and he would run away. And if you could hit him four or five times, he would sit down on the floor and just sort of like go, it's not happening. And you could just punch him away.
So Mike Tyson said, everyone's got a plan to get a punch in the mouth. Or something
yes. Lesnar is one of the few people who was an elite level UFC, you know, star who genuinely, you could see when he was hit once, he would just go, I don't like it. I mean, it was a real weakness.
You can't get muscles built into your face. Like, you can't muscle up your face, can
so,
you?
Look, Lesnar basically comes back after he can see slightly, you know, the writing isn't on the wall, but he is not winning these elite level matches.
Yeah.
Worth saying as well, I mean, pretty much no one in UFC history has gone in at the level that Brock Lesnar went in. He went in against legitimate main eventers.
Yeah, he wasn't like, I mean, CM Punk couldn't fight. Mate.
Exactly. He didn't go in against people you'd not heard of. He went in against the biggest names that the industry had to offer then.
Yeah.
And he did unbelievably well, considering. He had a lot of bouts of diverticulitis as well, which is a sort of a
thing,
I think he had to have quite a lot of his intestine removed. Health wise, I think he was struggling as well. But what he decided was WWE, of course, every UFC pay-per-view just made him a bigger star. He had name value, he had name recognition, and he was that aura around him, that sort of like, you know, a super aggressive beast. That was something that they had never ever managed to replicate. They've never been able to essentially create a star who was just frightening.
Mm.
And Brock Lesnar had become frightening.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the crowd in this match that are, you know, they're very disinterested. But they're still what, like, I know it's cold and I know you've just had the best match and there's obviously a bit of a cool down there. But
yeah.
You're watching fucking Bebop from the fucking Ninja Turtles hit a man with some metal fucking chairs, for crying out loud. Like,
you are.
You're just like if you can't get excited for that.
Yeah.
But they don't get excited
they
for that.
They don't get excited for that. Now, Lesnar has come back for this thing. And so he's basically said, look, I'm not going to do what I did before and start going out every night. And I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be like these fucking losers. He said, you know,
I'm going to be your rock. I'm going to be a serious wrestling rock.
He said, look, if you want me, you can have me, but we'll do it on my terms.
Yeah.
So he signed a deal, which was for a 1 year period. It was $5 million, and he agreed to do three matches.
That's not bad eating.
He would say, I'll do some TV appearances. They'll be written into the contract. Yeah. I'll do a couple in the build-up to help build the matches.
Mm.
Because the WWE had such limited dates on him, and because he was so expensive, they basically, when they had a Lesnar match lined up, like at WrestleMania, they would make sure it was promoted properly. They would have a storyline. They would give it a proper sort of amount of time. They would just work it properly.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing where you go, why can't you work everyone properly?
It doesn't cost you any more money.
No.
It just costs you time.
You can see with Lesnar, it works. Now, if they, and they occasionally did, wanted to use him again because they'd used up all of his dates and they wanted a bit more, they had to pay through the fucking nose for it. So Lesnar is the absolute epitome of an independent contractor who went out, got himself in a position where the WWE needed him more than he needed them, and he called the shots.
I love it.
He's amazing. He also used the leverage of every time his contract would come due in WWE, he'd say, well, I'm probably going to go and talk to UFC, probably going to sign a thing there. And they'd go, how much more do you want? And he'd say, well, let's talk. You know, it was that continually. He would play them off against each other. Now, he's coming up so far, so this is the first year of it, but he's nearly coming up to sort of a decade of basically working a handful of matches per year and being the biggest main eventer in the sport. In 2012, when he returned to WWE after UFC, he had two matches. He had his first match back where he dominated John Cena. An entirely new style that no one had ever seen before, where Brock Lesnar came in and it was a one-sided match where he just threw John Cena around for the best part of 20 minutes, and then John Cena somehow pinned him.
Right.
And basically, the reason they did that, of course, was they had three matches. That's one of them down.
Yeah.
So you might as well have Cena beat him. So otherwise, you know, you've only got two matches to work this out. In SummerSlam, he beats Triple H. So they've given him a thing, so they're going, you're an elite guy.
Mm.
And they've now got one match left.
Right.
So they go, well, let's give Triple H's match back. So in the three matches, they've got this monster. He loses two, and wins one.
Right.
Not a great thing. But what happens after this match is they manage to sign him to a three-year deal. And they agree to give him £5 million a year again. And the three-year deal means that they can build him as a monster because they know he's going to be there for 3 years.
Yes.
And so they can just use those matches in the biggest things, and hence why he will go on to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania. They know they've got him for enough time that should he go over, no spoilers, should he go over, they can really use him, you know, for the next couple of years. This match itself is absolutely boring as fuck. And what it gave Lesnar slightly is a reputation of being in these long, boring matches that no one wanted to see.
Mm.
The Cena one, the audience didn't know what to make of it, and it was much too long. They didn't really like it. I don't know what the Triple H match at SummerSlam was like because I haven't seen it since it went out. That sort of tells you a little bit about no one talks about it. And then this match, again, much, much, much too long.
Mm.
What they've hit on now is the magic ratio of going, we'll pay you insane amounts of money to do these matches. And if they're 4 minutes, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just go out there. Because in some ways, the 4 minute thing, it works much better than you doing, actually working hard for this money.
Yeah.
This is the second longest match that Lesnar has in a decade. Most of them are like 4 minutes. And this goes nearly half an hour. He only has one that's slightly longer, and that's with CM Punk at SummerSlam. But again, you know, that's that sounds like something I'd rather watch.
Well, I mean, it all begins with Triple H back on the slight barbarian shit.
Yep, coming out of comes Castle Grayskull, doesn't he? That He-Man set.
Comes out of a little barbarian's door.
Yeah,
and
a little barbarian Wendy house.
And something has gone wrong with the smoke machine.
Very wrong.
Starts vomiting up this thick white foam.
Yep.
And onto his stomach.
Onto his stomach.
He's been caught shaving his stomach.
Do you know what dry ice does?
Freeze thing.
It gives you second degree burns.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's what Triple H got. Second degree
really?
Burns.
Really? Wow,
see
yeah.
As he comes to the ring, he's sort of going like that, getting it off. And you think, oh, it's because it looks cosmetic. No, no, no. By the time he gets to the ring, he's got his water. That is going down the chest.
Oh, right. He's burning, right?
Yes.
Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, he gets a load of it on. The best bit is when they cut back to Brock Lesnar. I presume there's almost a side of me that I sort of think they might have said to a cameraman, right, cut to camera two. Camera A, tell him to get off him. It's going to get worse. But it just cuts to Brock Lesnar. He's looking at Triple H, just like going, oh, what's all that shit all over you?
Well, I really expected Brock Lesnar to go to like start laughing or something, because it was quite a comical entrance.
Yeah.
But he's in agony.
I like it more that Lesnar just looks at him and he's like, I do not know what this is. but do you know what it does? It annoys me.
Yeah.
It makes me angry. How dare you, in a match of this magnitude, turn up with all sort of
foam on yourself.
Foam on
Jizzy
yourself. Oh, what are you? You're fucking 10.
Triple jizz.
look, this match is what it is.
They broke the announcer's table. They managed to break the announcer's
they
table.
They get in the you know, the steps, the ring steps, and people land on that with their back to what I must describe as a lukewarm reaction from a crowd.
If CM Punk or, I don't know, Xavier Woods or someone lands, well, probably not Xavier Woods, but like, if someone lands on their back and they've got a back like Brock Lesnar, look at it. It looks all soft anyway. Yeah. So like, it doesn't look like it hurts.
The problem with this as well is Lesnar is an unknowable, frightening, almost not quite human creature. And Triple H is Triple H. And the two of that is, who do I root for? No one. Who do I want to win? No one. Who do I want to lose? No one.
Has anyone ever got the ring steps and put them like next to the ropes and ran up the ring steps, jumped on the ropes and then flipped off?
You've got to start booking. Got to start booking.
That'll be how someone dies at our WrestleMania show.
And it will actually be someone who was sitting in the front row, because jumping up on the steps will have skidded them under the first bit. And unlike the wrestlers, we made sign liability clauses for their 50 quid. The crowd very much sued.
Yeah.
Sued by the surviving family. Mm. this match is, I hated it.
All I wrote was a good chin music from.
You get Shawn Michaels comes in and, you know, he does do his super kick. Brock Lesnar catches it. But actually what happens is the super kick does hit him. But because he's got to catch it, he doesn't react to it in any way.
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I just thought, it would be much better if Shawn Michaels just super kicked him and he'd just gone, is that it? Just, you know, that would have been great. Really, Shawn Michaels is retired now. We don't need to protect that move.
No.
That can go.
No.
It was too long. It's Triple H. It's 15 minutes longer than it needs to be. Triple H has also done a weird thing where he's not shaved his head properly. He's left a bit of growth in. And it looks like when you see alcoholics who get shaved because they've got nits. That's what it looked like, and that disgusted me through the whole match. I thought it was foul. Look, Pete, I just hate it.
Yeah,
a lot of people got injured in this, so Triple H actually knocked out Lesnar at some point. He was knocked out on his feet when he took a knee. So he had about 5 minutes of just not knowing really what was going on.
Right.
The very fact that you can have 5 minutes in this match, not know it's not, you know, where he's just out of it.
Yeah.
And you can watch it back and you go, I can't see which 5 minutes were all of it felt less.
Finish it.
Triple H thought his match was broken when he got his arm caught underneath Lesnar. X-rays came back negative.
Right.
Which again, I sort of, you know, Triple H is always like, oh, I've got this injury. Oh, it's terrible. Turned out it was actually, you know, it certainly felt like it.
Me, like me, like I used to do in radio, a snoop. Where they would listen back to the show and tell you you're a cunt, basically. I was always carrying a cold. I just felt dreadful. Oh, dearie me.
You're the Triple H of commercial radio. That's what they used to call you. And you also went on too long. And Shawn Michaels actually ended up with a broken nose at some point. I think that's just Lesnar does. Sort of knock him. It's not very spectacular. It's just, like all of these things, but you know, the bad injuries always look unspectacular.
Yeah.
And it was that. Now, look, I watched this match and I felt it was long at the time. I can remember nothing of it now. Nothing. I watched it 2 nights ago. Nothing.
Yeah, no, I've got, apart from the spuff, as the we used to say in Hartlepool.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, white spuff.
I'm a Brock Lesnar fan. I really like him. I think he's unique. They haven't quite got what he's doing right here. But I'd actually forgotten he had these really long bad matches. I would not watch this match again under any circumstances. I may. Thank God for the Hall of Fame. Pete.
Yay. Up to a point. Up to a point.
It's magic. You get obviously the celebrity wing. Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
The year that he's inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Donald Trump. He doesn't get a speech. He doesn't get any. He's just kind of...
Yeah. Well, they've changed it now so that the Hall of Fame ceremony happens the night before.
Right, yeah, okay.
And they have that in the same building where they record the Raw the following Monday. And so they all do their speeches in there. I can't remember if these are on the network, but I've certainly got them on DVDs, you know, that used to come in the
really?
WrestleMania
right, okay,
packs.
Yeah.
I did have a quick look at the little clip of Donald Trump's speech, and it's absolutely, if you were doing a parody of what Donald Trump would be like if he was, you know, it was just amazing. I met the great Andre the Giant, who was great, he said, and that was a terrific time. He says, all the things you hear him say now, he says there. I guess the thing we're known for is the Battle of the Billionaires, and to this day, it has the highest ratings, the highest pay-per-view in the history of wrestling. Of any kind. Literally saying this a year after the WrestleMania, which was the biggest WrestleMania of all time, which was not the one he was on.
Yeah.
Just that thing where he comes out and just goes, it was the best, I was the best,
obsessed
it
with
made
the
most.
Yeah.
None of it's true.
Yeah,
absolute bullshit. He also says, I consider this to be my greatest honor of all. It would be amazing if he still does, isn't it? But he's sort of, you know, I mean, you know, a president was, you know, challenging and everything, but I don't think there'll ever be an accolade higher than when I was in the WWE's Hall of Fame celebrity wing.
You don't want to get a ring. If you're getting a spray tan, take your ring off.
Yes.
Take your WrestleMania ring off.
Does he still wear it? Does he still wear it? Or has he put it on eBay? Who will know?
He gave it to a man who was like providing some Formica worktops for the fucking Trump Tower.
Yeah.
He said, look, I won't give you $1 million.
Yeah.
But I won't give you this. It's invaluable.
Worth $15 million. 16, maybe even 18. It's actually 19. You know, it's that, isn't it? I mean, ironically, that probably is worth some money.
That's your Rabbi Cookamonger.
It is, yeah. I'm super aware, as we started me talking about the Hall of Fame, I was thinking, I don't think I've actually ever done a Donald Trump impression.
No.
And I realise now it's very freeform. I'm not there yet. I was thinking, how does he speak? And I actually couldn't get it because all I could hear was myself doing it.
Everyone's got one, though, haven't they?
Hey, here I am, President Trump. Zoidberg. Excellent character. Once you start talking like Zoidberg, very difficult to stop. Other people in the Hall of Fame this year, Mick Foley goes in. It's taking place in New York, so there's a lot of New York stars and a lot of paying tribute to the home, if you like, the spiritual home of WWE. Which is Madison Square Garden. Right. They ran there from the 60s all the way through till very recently. Mick Foley's in with Terry Funk putting him in.
Mick Foley in this, he's dressed like just a lovely sheriff.
Yes,
a lovely, friendly sheriff.
He is.
Who's also a haunted tent. Like he's wearing a big tent, but he's also a sheriff.
He looks a bit, like a sort of hairy schmoo, if you remember the new schmoo. Bob Backlund, who goes in by Maria Menounos. Bob Backlund, a long-term 70s and early 80s WWF champion, who then had another run in the mid-90s in a run that everyone sort of says is really bad. And he had lots of bad matches, but I found delightful. I thought at the time it was great. I really enjoyed it. Booker T is inducted by his brother and Harlem Heat tag team partner, Stevie Ray. Booker later admitted during an interview with JBL on the network show Legends with JBL that prior to him asking to Stevie Ray to actually induct him, that the two of them hadn't spoken for nearly 5 years.
I don't know why. Well, that's good that they were able to mend their...
The brothers' hearts were healed at the Hall of Fame. That sounds like one of those Chuck Tingle books.
With Donald Trump.
Trish Stratus, who was inducted by Stephanie McMahon. At the time, the Stephanie induction was a bit controversial. People were like, she should go in with Lita.
Yeah.
You know, Lita should be the one putting her in the Hall of Fame, and then she'd get to return the favour.
Yeah.
And Stephanie McMahon very much stepping in as the face of women's wrestling, which has always been a slightly sort of a thing that she does frequently.
Right. But when she's not really had much of a...
No. She's been a Divas champion. So, I mean, in a fake sport, that is a very, very poor record to have, to be honest. And Bruno Sammartino, who is inducted by Arnold Schwarzenegger. They used to call Madison Square Garden the house that Bruno built. He was a WWF champion back when it was called WWWF. They hadn't compacted the word worldwide. It used to be the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Obviously, like someone selling a load of W's. But Bruno Sammartino was the champion for 11 years over two reigns. Mm. And he had a legitimate, I think it was 187 sellouts of Madison Square Garden at that time. It's just an astonishing number. Mm. He had, as a child, he was born in Italy. They'd moved to Pittsburgh when he was about 10. As a child, he'd been hidden from the Nazis by his mother, who just took the children up to mountains, left them there, and then would go on forays to go and get food.
Amazing.
He's an astonishing sort of like, and he's actually, when you watch his matches, and there are some on things like YouTube, and you can see them on the network, he is incredibly powerful. And for the time, he wasn't much of a wrestler. He just goes in and kicks and punches with amazing fire. And he became a huge hero in New York, especially to the Italian-American community, you know,
right,
who were a big part. A lot of the WWE champions over the years, they were put in there to appeal to specific demographics within New York.
Yeah.
Pedro Morales for the Puerto Rican Americans. Mm. You had Bruno, and then you have Hulk Hogan originally. Hogan, an Irish name. They were trying to get Irish fans in.
Right.
So lots of sort of attempts like that. But Bruno was a guy who really transcended that sense of, you know, you are a local hero. He was Ric Flair was never into him as a performer. He said he didn't really have any skills.
Mm.
But Bruno.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Sammartino had the ability, which great wrestlers have, to get people to buy tickets to see him beat people up.
Which is well more important.
Absolutely. He fell out very, very heavily with the WWE in the 80s. He basically found out in the last few years of his big running career, he'd been cheated out of the receipts at Madison Square Garden's gate by Vince McMahon's father. And he sued for the right payments. Mm. And as part of the settlement, they put him on TV as a colour commentator and they gave his son David a job. David was not very good. If you have to get your job because your dad has sued a company, maybe this job is not for you.
You just think you're unwelcome, don't you?
And he really was.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
And Bruno Sammartino was not very good as a colour commentator. They eventually got rid of him. And this coincided with Bruno Sammartino when he sort of fell out with them, if you like, for the second time. Mm. He began becoming a very vocal criticiser of them. So when they were doing all the steroid stuff, Bruno Sammartino would frequently be the wrestler they brought in who would disparage the WWE and just say, in my day, we never took steroids. All of them, I saw them taking pills. You know, they're disgraceful. He was always a very dignified man and that helped him. You know, I think he was always very honest. And he always said he would never, ever go back to the WWE. They'd asked him, I think, when they finally asked him, they basically said, look, our product has changed. And so he agreed to come to the Hall of Fame here. And really, they couldn't have a Hall of Fame of any note without him. He was such an important part of the WWE for so long. But they basically, he said, look, they've addressed my concerns with their programming, so I'm willing to come. The fact that it happened entirely coincidentally, it was about changing television and, you know, the deals they have with networks and things
like
that.
They couldn't do certain
things. I like the way he was like, they changed it.
They changed it for me.
For me, as I requested. And in he went. He died in 2018, but it was also part, really one of the first times as well, where they managed to get someone in the Hall of Fame who it looked like they would never, ever be able to build bridges with. Mm. And that Hall of Fame thing became, for a lot of wrestlers, as they got older and had been out of the business for a while, it became something that was quite important. Weirdly, there's been this sort of month, Martha Hart, who is the widow of Owen Hart, has been talking about the Hall of Fame, about how people, you know, say to her, you know, please, Mark Henry did it in his acceptance speech, please let Owen go in the Hall of Fame. They will take it very seriously. And she said, well, it's not actually a fucking Hall of Fame, is it? So there's not in a hallway. It just exists.
It just exists.
In like just, a mind.
Yeah.
It's not real. And she was saying, you know, why all it is a TV show and they get to sell merchandise. She said, so why am I going to do that when it's just garbage? And It is just garbage. When she said that, I was like, yeah, she's absolutely right there.
It's not even a museum. It's not even a museum. It's not really like, there might be one photograph somewhere.
And it's funny how, like, you know, Bruno Sammartino is like, you know, I will do this because it's important for my legacy. It doesn't exist. It's nothing.
Well, nothing exists,
isn't
it?
It's just a list.
We all exist in memories, Mark. Oh.
But that is the worst place to exist in all. Oh, but you know, out they come to the audience and they all do their little waves. Backlund is really the only one still in character who's going, ah, I'm crazy. Oddly, Bob Backlund did try to run for president.
Did he?
He tried to run on his own ticket. And,
nice.
He failed.
They're always successful, aren't they?
Aren't they? But I looked at the two of them and I was like, two people, both ran for president, both odd. You know, just out of all the people on the thing, the fact that there's a percentage of them who legitimately tried to run for president and one of them who then succeeded is remarkable. It is so strange seeing the president of the United States of America on a wrestling sort of like platform. Standing with, you know, Bob Backlund. It's just weird. It never stops being strange.
In an outdoor court, that's the weird thing.
Yeah. Still wearing the same outfit, you know. Just it's really odd. It's the Donald Trump stuff, the more you see it, oddly, you know, you'd sort of go, oh, well, I'm so used to seeing him that seeing him in WrestleMania, it's, you know, doesn't seem odd. I find it so bizarre. It's like crossovers that shouldn't happen. It's just weird.
His whole life is so dedicated to him not having the piss taken out of him.
Yeah.
But that's all he gets.
Oh, it's, and the crowd boo him. They boo him in this. It's wonderful. Yeah. Well done, crowd. Happy about that. Right.
At least they got, at least they reacted to something.
Yeah,
didn't do
that's
anything
true.
During Triple H.
No. I mean, but also the next match, you know, the main event is cold. They've just, whether they've just, you know, been there too long or maybe it's just matches they don't want to see. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As someone holds up a sign that just says twice in a lifetime. And that is a really good sort of, you know, there you go. Yeah. That's the, you know, the bait and switch of last year. I was reading some blogs that people had put up at this time
you know,
when they were like, sort of, here's my WrestleMania weekend that I had. And a lot of people that I read, who are obviously big wrestling fans, were saying even up to the end of the, you know, pretty much March, they were sort of hoping that this wouldn't be the main event.
Really, right.
Yeah,
okay,
the people are like, we've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
Last year you had The Rock returning for his first singles match in 7 years. And in that time he'd become a huge star. Fast and Furious 5 is out. You know, he is all over Hollywood. He's a big guy and this is his return. The problem with this year's one is it's not the return after 7 years. It's not even the return after 1 year when he was last at WrestleMania. He's been wrestling at the Royal Rumble. He's done some, you know, bits here and there. He's all around. So now he's just a guy. And we're having a match that we saw last year that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it again this year. And because he's got the belt and because Cena lost last year, the end result has never been less hard to guess.
It just seemed to me, I mean, they probably had a longer match planned because it's just, they just lost the crowd and then they just start doing finishes and you sort of know, okay, well, this has to come to an end soon because they just, no one's into it. No one's into it.
I found this match, I've watched it twice, Pete, and both times I zoned out and I had that thing of, I was looking at it and I could hear the voice saying, got to pay attention. A bit like when if you fell asleep at the wheel, right? And you get the voice going, got to stay awake.
Because you'll have to watch it again.
No.
You'll have to watch it again. If you fall asleep now, you'll have to watch it again.
If I watch a match twice, I'll tell you what, that match has failed. And if I watch it twice and I still remember nothing about it, I mean, that's a disaster. Two people of this caliber.
I think, but like 23, 24 minutes, you sort of think that they could have probably, they're probably aware that it's just not going and it's not a hot crowd and, you know, they probably want to go longer. But like, but the whole, like, here the ring looks very bouncy. I think Lesnar's fucked it by jumping on it. It looks really bouncy. But then, you know, you've seen, it, you know, this is the culmination of a year of fucking so-called redemption from Cena, which I don't buy because he's white bread and fucking boring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see him in hardship. He's never going to be in hardship. So the redemption story arc didn't work. But then the whole match ends with a fucking handshake and a fucking high five and a, you know, job well done.
Yeah.
These guys are supposed to have been feuding for 2 years.
Awful.
And it ends like this.
Awful. And that sort of sense of, Do you know what it seems to me?
Fucking curtain call.
Do you know what it seems to
me? It's as destructive.
It seems to me that they are going, what a professional job we have both done. Yeah. That was professional. We did exactly what we both had pre-stipulated and we have come out of this and we are both fully satisfied.
Honestly.
It's very, very, very badly done. you get some The Rock does actually have legitimate injuries as a result of this match. So I think halfway through he gets torn muscles and tendons around his pelvis.
Whoa.
So last year he jammed his leg a bit and he went doing, and this year everything goes like that. There's a part of me that some people have always said this was never mentioned at the time and that he said it later, and it may have been an attempt to go, this is why it wasn't quite happening. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I believe he said he had the torn muscles and things in his pelvis in the hope there would be a female nurse who would check it over. I believe that not to be the case. I believe it was a 60-year-old man. I believe also that when he began checking the muscles around the pelvis area, I believe he looked down, he tutted, and he said, I'm going to go out for 35 seconds or so to a minute, calm yourself down, and we'll carry on.
Because The Rock has never had sex with a lady.
It was too close. Yeah. It was too close to Little Rock, to Strudel. So, you know, no one blames The Rock. It's understandable. Look, it's what growing boys do. It's a normal part of growing up. But
I'm a Triple H in the last match.
But all I'm going to say, Rocky, is you tried to trick. You tried to trick Dr. Kazarius. You tried to trick him, didn't you? Did you think Dr. Kazarius might be a lady? You did. That's honest, and I appreciate it. Good. But
look, progressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You thought Dr. Kazarius was going to be a lady.
Yeah.
And you just went for it.
That was right on. But what you did was really
Tracy
unacceptable.
Tracy can sometimes be confusing. All right. I understand you.
Okay. Look, Rock, I'm gonna level with you, man. You're gonna get it away one day. We'll be so excited.
Look, we'll be clapping.
But you don't need to rush it, and you certainly don't need to trick people into it.
Don't put pressure on yourself, mate. You're in films.
Exactly.
Hobbs, and I cannot stress this enough, Shaw.
Yeah.
You're in that.
It can only be a matter of time. The important thing is the consent must be enthusiastic. Right. That's what you were doing. That's what you're doing with the whole muscles on my pelvis. That's what I'm saying.
Naughty.
Very naughty. Very bad. And that is WrestleMania 29. John Cena's WWE title win at this event he became the third person in history to win the WWE Championship three times at WrestleMania. He'd won at 21 and 26, and the others are Hogan, who won it at 5, 7 and 9, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, who won at 14, 15 and 17. And The Rock, similarly, his loss of the championship meant he was the first person in history to have lost the title three times at WrestleMania.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, he lost at 15 and 17 as well. Every time you look at the Rock records, they're always he's lost the most, which means he's the most generous, which means he's the best. Yeah. He's the most over.
Right.
If you can lose and still be huge when all around you are being John Cena, then you will be a man, my son.
Yeah, John Cena walks off and he's looking very solemnly at the fucking bell.
I know. That whole thing about John Cena's redemption thing, you cannot do it when you're an A-lister. You can't do it.
No.
And especially you can't do it when you're, I'd say, meathead. Just, you know, you. Yeah. The idea that John Cena has a moment of self-doubt or sadness over anything.
He fucking speaks as Chinese, speaks as Mandarin.
I feel unsad.
Real
fucking
loser, mate, aren't I?
Which is because I am not following my own. Yeah, shut your damn mouth.
Oh, a couple of bits I picked up on. I've decided that I'm going to use the words a stallion move. I'm going to say when things are a stallion move and when they're not a stallion move.
I like it.
Because I was reading about a man called Matt Riddle, who I've never heard of before.
Bro.
Matt Riddle. Have I not?
It's called, he shouts bro.
He shouts bro.
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 I think he's going to have a fight with Goldberg.
Yes, the two of them don't get on. Matt Riddle, worth pointing out, he may not look it, but he is a former UFC fighter.
Yeah, he's a tough guy.
He is.
Hey, tough guy.
Hey, tough guy.
But apparently he was thanked for not punching Goldberg in the face, and he said, I can't do that. That is not a stallion move. You sign a contract, you get a fight, you get a match set up, and then you beat him in front of millions of people. That's a stallion move.
I'm
deciding that everything I do in my life... whether it is or isn't a stallion move.
He is a very good performer. He's actually just gone to the main roster from NXT now, so he will be on your TV on Raw, and he seems like a absolute dude.
Cool.
Very, very partial to Da Herb.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine. It's good. Medicinal.
Yeah, I think everyone's slightly always angling for a match with Goldberg.
Right.
Because you know it's going to be short and there's got to be a lot of money involved. I mean, there is a 50-50 chance he'll kill
die.
You.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he seemed to more indicate the MMA side of things.
Goldberg did start training MMA.
Oh,
he was
right.
Always very... he was just one of those guys who was slightly too old by about 10 years.
Right.
And I think, again, one of those guys who he always sort of said had this come along when I was younger.
When this is a product I can make some money out of.
Undertaker said exactly the same thing. He would have gone into MMA.
Well, he's been making those moves for ages, isn't he? I mean, like.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think he was very silly to think that. I think do you know what it's typically like? It's like when you get to the top of the wrestling industry and you're really, really wealthy, you have that thing of going, yeah, this was all slightly beneath me. Yes. I could have, I should have done the legitimate sport where I would have probably been an even bigger star.
I did an interview with Ian Rush, the Wales and Liverpool and Wrexham striker. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of the best footballers that Wales have ever produced.
Yep.
Certainly Perth Wales, anyway. And my God, him talking about how he could probably score more goals nowadays. Because he was quick.
I'm amazing. Going,
you were quick, Ian, but the defenders now are also very quick.
Yeah.
And also, they're not drinking 10 pints every night.
No.
And they may try and play it out from the back, but fuck me, they can play it out from the back because they are talented footballers.
It is amazing.
And it's not diminishing what you achieve.
No.
And how you are regarded as being one of Wales' greatest strikers.
Yeah.
But I'm not having that. Sorry, mate. I'm not having it.
It's mad, isn't it? And I think, you know, there is that tendency of everyone looks back and they go, well, ours was the glory years. You know, like we did with XFM, certainly. I remember I was on XFM. I remember when I first went there, people were like, this place used to be really great.
Oh, yeah, every job.
Used to be really great.
Same. Oh, used to be
and I came to realise they were liars because the time I was there was the best time. Afterwards, shit. I found this has happened in a lot of jobs I've done.
Yeah.
The best times that place has ever had coincided with you when I was there and I was able to watch it happen. And I found that the other times that people say were good, I don't believe or have any interest in.
Yeah, honestly. but they do. And it, for me, it's always the most underwhelming people who say that. Yeah. You arrive at a place and they go, better when it was Virgin.
Barry Cryer, perfect example of that. Barry Cryer in comedy. He's one of the only people who throughout his career has always been supportive of what's going on.
Yeah.
And he has a big thing of saying there's no difference in the past. Funny is funny. Mm. And he's always been really supportive of young people.
Yeah.
So, you know, as up and coming comics, new comics, there was always that thing of people used to go, I'd like to see him play fucking 10 minutes down fucking Embassy Club, see if they're fucking funny then, coming on with their fucking jokes about tampons, you know, all that sort of shit. And Barry was one of the few people who would always be like, who am I into? Mark Thomas, absolutely loving him. And it went all the way through the 90s and stuff. Oddly, our local paper, so I lived a road away from Barry Cryer when I was growing up, and he was famous in Hatch End because Hatch End didn't have anyone famous apart from Barry Cryer. So growing up in Hatch End, you knew Barry Cryer very well as being one of the most famous men in the world because he lived in Hatch End. And our local paper, when I won a stand-up competition in about 98, they took us out for a meal, me and Barry, the two guys from Hatch End, and they specifically wanted us to have an argument because they thought Barry would be going, old comedy was the way it was. These kids today, they don't know a fucking thing. We got in like a house on fire. And I spent probably 3 years after that, I would drink with Barry every weekend at our local pub. And it was just a joyful time. And it was the lesson that it taught me is that thing of you must always go, the now is exciting.
Yeah.
Because otherwise what you are is you are, you know, you're Ian Rush.
Yeah.
Well, you're Ian Rush going, I mean, obviously I was the best. You're the Undertaker going, I mean, you know, good run, but I could have done a lot better if I'd have done something else because I'm so good.
Well, it automatically, you know, it makes you a little bit anachronistic, I guess. It makes the whole product anachronistic. I don't know. Yeah.
The important thing is if Undertaker's going to keep running his mouth off, mate, just have a couple of MMA fights. Do you know what? Do you know who else did that? Someone you faced at WrestleMania 29. And do you think it got it out of their system? Yes, it fucking did.
And when you go down, then I'll give you a little twig to see if you're all right.
Oh, big Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Look, I mean, we slightly misjudged the length of the four episodes this week. That is our prerogative.
Yeah, baby.
We're allowed to. If you're listening on Patreon, you won't have known. You'll just be like, that was lovely and smooth.
That was a smooth 4 hours.
Yeah. What you will never, ever understand is just how hot the studio we're in is.
Oh, and we're going to leave for a second.
Look, it's really worth us saying. You might sort of go, the bits I thought actually in this one that flagged a bit. I felt like there was a certain, it is 600 degrees in here. One of my teeth melted in like minute 15.
There was this police cruiser. I think it was a police cruiser. Either way, the people who made the police cruiser basically said, we've updated the firmware on this particular car, brand new car. I think it was a police cruiser. It might not have been. It might have just been a road car. And what it does is it fires up the engine as hot as it'll go, and it pulls the hot air across the engine and in through the vents of the air conditioning, and it heats the car to something like 60 degrees, 65, right. Like something abhorrently hot. And then it flushes it out. And Because apparently COVID can't live
in a certain... Yeah, I can understand
COVID,
that.
99% of the of instances, COVID will not survive that particular treatment. So it's a way of basically disinfecting the car by doing it. I'm thinking about getting the studio back up and running. I'm thinking, I think we'll be all right, to be honest. I'm not able to live in this.
Do you know what we
should
do?
Never mind COVID.
What you need to do is you need to say, this is no longer a studio. This is a walk-through cleansing station. Everyone comes in here. They record a podcast. Everyone in Britain, by the time they get out the other side, clean.
The IP we're picking up is insane. Insanely popular. Yes, if you do want to get involved with our Patreon, we are open for business. We've got extra shows every single week. If this isn't enough, you can hear the entirety of our WrestleMania shows all in one chunk. We've got a newsletter that comes out every month, and you would not believe how much work Mark puts into that. Because Mark, the problem with Mark is he's fucked himself because he loves wrestling and he can't stop loving wrestling.
Do you know what?
I couldn't write the wrestling newsletter.
Do you know? This is absolutely true. I ghost wrote a book late last year, and I think it was between 60,000 and 70,000 words.
Yeah.
And that is an entire book. I checked the word count on the last newsletter, which I am about two-thirds of the way through. The word count was 25,000 words. So basically, it's half a book.
I love it.
Every month. It's gone nuts.
It's gone bananas.
It's gone banana.
Fantastic.
There's also I did a pin-up. I like pin-ups. There's a big pin-up in there of Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yay!
I had to buy some merchandise to make sure that I had that. It's a very important part of it. So as I explained to my wife, that's why I bought the big collection of 1970s wrestling magazines. She never listens this far. It's all good.
Oh, well, patreon.com/WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. And hey, look, we thank you for sticking with us for another WrestleMania. We're at a key point now. So we are now from next episode, going to be in WrestleMania 30.
Holy moly.
We've reached the 3-0s. And of course, it's only up to 36.
Yeah.
So we could be as little as 20 episodes away from this whole thing collapsing and dying on its bum.
And I, for one, welcome it. Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.